Yes, it's that time of the week where we've got Sally Lucas here in the studio to talk all things travel. And where are we going today, Sal?
Well, as we said last week, we're sick of winter, didn't we?
We are sick of winter.
So I'm going to the Northern Territory.
Ooh.
So we're going to delve into that in a big way about what it has to offer, ways of getting there, what to do when you're there, all sorts of interesting bits and pieces about the NT.
Any particular time of year?
All times of the year except probably summer.
Yeah. That would be way
so
too hot.
Three seasons, fine. The other one you might want to give a miss.
It's Talking Travel with Sally Lucas and we're talking the Northern Territory today.
We certainly are, and I just thought I'd bring this up. I do subscribe to the Northern Territory Tourism Newsletter and they're always coming up with something interesting and quirky. So this time they're saying it's time to bust the top seven myths about the NT. So everyone says, oh, it's too far or it's too hot or it's too expensive or whatever. So I thought we'll just go through some of those today and I thought it's just quite interesting, yes, to bust some of these myths.
Well, honestly, what you just said is what I thought as well.
Yeah, well, there you go. Good. And there's a lot of people that haven't been there. I do know that because I do talk about it a lot because we've got friends that live there. So we go frequently, but I talk to many people like yourself who've still never been. And it really should be on everyone's bucket list. I mean, it's a state or a territory, of course, that has got just so much to offer. And it does vary depending on the time of year you go. Okay, so that is definite. So, of course, it's hot. Anywhere across the top of Australia is hot. But you pick your right times, obviously. Now, a lot of people go in the dry season, which, of course, is our winter. The only thing wrong with going in the dry season that your waterholes and your swimming lagoons in the, say, Kakadu and Litchfield area aren't at their full capacity. So sometimes the waterholes aren't even running.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to miss that, which is quite spectacular. But look, don't not go if that's the only time you can go. I've been in nearly every season except the summer, you know. So I would say no, don't not go if that's the only time you can go. It's still beautiful. You're going to still see incredible wildlife. You know, there's still beauty in the rock art, in the actual sunsets are just, you know, unbelievable sunsets. So you've got lots to look forward to. But yes, there are beautiful waterholes, as I said, so you can get cool. So we're talking about getting hot. No, you can get cool. But even just around Darwin itself, they've got waterholes and swimming lagoons not far away. And a little creek that you can even go in. It's just near the airport of all things that our friends took us to the last time we were there. And it's the first time they said, haven't we taken you here before? Because everywhere we go, they take us somewhere different. And so it's always an experience. And you've got Litchfield National Park, which is only an hour and a half from Darwin. Berry Springs is only about 45 minutes. Beautiful, natural swimming holes. They're just delightful. Fringed with pandanus palms and you just float there and it's just gorgeous. So, yes, of course it can be hot, but you pick your time, okay? Same in the Red Centre. Like we went there when it was spring. I would have called it the Green Centre because they'd just gone through a period where they'd had incredible rain. So the flowers, all the spring flowers were out. It was spectacular. And, of course, the rock is just a phenomenon in itself, just see that. And my husband, when I went, I'd been before, and he was blown away. He said, I just didn't realise how blown away I would be by seeing this, which is just amazing. But even if you're going in there, you've got lots of lovely water holes between Alice Springs and Uluru along the way, Ormiston Gorge, Glen Helen Gorge. There's many places where Ellery Creek, where you can stop and cool off. So that's one myth busted.
Mm-hmm.
It's too far away, a lot of people say. Well, people go to other places. They go to Bali.
That's
too far away.
I'm going to Bali in
so
a couple of weeks.
It's closer than you think. And you've got Qantas Virgin and operating regular flights there all the time. So really, you can't use that as an excuse. I'm sorry, that's pretty weak, that one. But also, if you're travelling from Europe or Asia, of course, Darwin is the gateway into Australia. It's the first port of call for them coming down into here. Too rugged. That's the other myth. Well, no. It used to be the old days. It was all, you know, dirt roads with even more potholes than Newcastle at the moment, which is something to be said, isn't it? God. Anyway, we won't go down that path or that road.
That's true.
But everything, just about all the main roads there are sealed now. So it is very easy to get around and you don't have to rough it. even in accommodation. They've now got, you know, lots of luxury lodges, beautiful luxury lodges situated on beautiful water holes and water plains. Even down in the Red Centre, like near the Kings Canyon, you've got a Dreamtime Escarpment tent, which is glamping, luxury glamping. You've got Longitude 131 at Uluru, or you've got one called Squeaky Windmill in Alice Springs. Or you can say, you do the Fine Dining Under the Stars, of course, which is brilliant, and the Field of Light display in Katherine. They've got an Aboriginal-owned five-star resort situated right along Nipmulup Gorge, which is the main gorge in the Nipmulup National Park, just out of Katherine, which is just wonderful. And you can do a beautiful sunset dinner cruise on the gorge, which is just stunning. And you've got Kakadu, which we've just mentioned. Now, Kakadu National Park, again, it's all sealed now, except if there's a couple of odd roads where you would need four-wheel drive that aren't sealed, that go off to remote billabongs, which are just beautiful. When in season, they're just full of lotus and water lilies, which are just spectacular, and the wildlife. So no, it's not too rugged either. So that's another myth busted.
What about crocodiles?
Well, they're there, of course, they're there. And what they do, you see them more in the dry. They're going to be, they like sunning themselves on riverbanks. Mm-hmm. In the wet, all the water's up really high. So they're sneakily hiding underneath somewhere and you won't know where they are.
So, what if you go swimming?
You don't go swimming. But all the different water holes that are safe for swimming, the rangers go in at the end of the wet. And if some of them have accidentally ended up, you know, because of the movement of water, they clear them all out. And they won't open up those swimming holes till they know they're completely croc-free.
Right.
So it is safe. Okay. So just keep that in mind as well. So, yeah, that's another one. And it's too dry. Well, it's not. I mean, part of it is got desert in it, but it's not all like that. As I said before, there are plenty of water holes in various different spots. Some absolutely stunning. If you Google water holes in the Northern Territory, you'll be blown away by some of them. You're just in the middle of nowhere. There's this magnificent natural spring, as I said, surrounded by palms and pandanus. And you're often there, you're the only person there. You know, that's very spectacular. So that's another myth. It's not too dry. And it's not too wet. Well, it can be too wet. But as I said, you wouldn't go there. I mean, having said that, I think the build-up is worse than the summer in November, because that build-up till they get it, they're not getting the rain then. They've just got the 100% humidity. So, you know, October, November is pretty, full on. So if you went at the end of the summer, though, or even in summer, they get the storm at the end of the day and that clears the air for the evening. So you will get a lot of rain, but it does clear the air. But the build-up is just, I wouldn't go there in October or November, seriously.
So with the wet season, how much is it raining?
Well, it rains. You know what climate change is like. Like, it's changed so much. You know, you could guarantee that Darwin and that top end would get stacks of rain nearly every wet season, but that's not always the case anymore. It's really hard to predict. But as a general rule, you get the heat of the day builds up, and so you get that evening rain.
Shower, yep.
Yeah, the thunderstorms, you know, like I love watching thunderstorms. I think electrical storms are just quite fantastic. So, yes, you will get that, of course. But really it's the build-up time, I think, is the time to avoid, if you can.
Okay.
So we've only got two more myths to go, but we might keep them for the next segment.
Okay. And I was just going to quickly ask you about with the weather.
Yes.
What temperatures are we talking about in the, October? Well, now, I guess.
Well, now you're looking at sort of around 30.
Okay.
But you've not got the humidity.
So that's kind of like a nice summer.
In winter it is, But once you start getting into the summer months, you're getting up to nearly 100% humidity. So that build up into that time of the year, as I said, the summer rain will give you that relief of an evening, but your days are still going to be, it doesn't get much hotter. Like, it's not the temperature, it's the humidity, right? Mm. So the temperature's still, they don't get in the 40s hardly ever. So you're still only talking even early 30s most of the time, even in summer, right? But it's the build-up of the humidity,
okay,
which is what the moisture gives you. So, yeah.
That's right.
We're continuing on that theme. So with the myths, so we're up to myth number 6, that it's too expensive. Well, no, it's not, because it's got something for anyone on any budget. And because it's a temperate climate, means camping is a cheap but comfortable option. So anyone that wants to go to the Territory and loves, you know, not exactly roughie, and I won't call it that, but camping, to being independent, it's very popular to do. And Territorians themselves, our friends, go camping on a regular basis because they've got a climate that lets them do it nearly all year round.
Yeah.
So they'll just pack up for the weekend. They've got a troopie. They head off and they find all these lovely little spots where they're just on their own. You know, there's lots of places. Yet there are obviously places where you can get, you know, proper caravan parks and camping areas as well. But you've got hostel accommodation, so it's good for backpackers, affordable for them as well. But, of course, you've still got, you know, upmarket accommodation if you so desire. So you've got the whole gamut, the whole range, depending on what you want to do. And a lot of what you can do in the NT or in Darwin and even Alice and so on is free. So it's got the most magnificent museum and art gallery there. The Indigenous art on display is second to none. And it's right on the waterfront in these beautiful gardens. The setting is just stunning. And they've also got there the Cyclone Tracy story, which is the most incredible thing.
That'd be very interesting.
And you go into this room where it was a priest had a little cassette recorder and he kept it running during Cyclone Tracy. And it's still the only sound recording left of what happened that evil night of the 24th of December back in 1974.
Wow.
And you just get, I'm getting goosebumps. I can hear it again now. You hear glass, you hear corrugated iron scraping, you hear the sound of this ferocious sound of the wind howling and screaming. It's just amazing. So you go into this little room, which is what he was the equivalent of. It's all dark and all you've got is this noise all around you. Mm. And that's what those people would have experienced. So it's quite an interesting thing to do when you're there. And then also out at a place called East Point, they've got a military museum and there's also a defensive Darwin experience because a lot of that was hidden from us too about how we were so bombed, more bombed than Pearl Harbor.
Really?
More damage, more deaths, more everything. But it was hidden by our government for years. And that was back on the 19th of February 1942. So you're getting a lot of history and that's a very interesting place to visit as well. And then you've got the famous Fanny Bay Jail, which was in inception from, I think, 1883, and then it was eventually closed in 1979. And it's housed all sorts of interesting prisoners over its period of time, and that's really interesting. Food is fantastic in Darwin. That's another thing.
What sort of food are we talking?
Asian mixed, so many Chinese, Malay, because we're so close to these countries, a lot of them came down there for work, whatever. You go to all these wonderful markets, the food, oh, the laxes, the beautiful pawpaw and green mango salads, and oh, just the food is just divine. And you've got the wonderful Mindal markets that are only operating, obviously, in the dry months because you can't have these sort of markets in the wet months, obviously. And they are fantastic as well. And you just sit there at sunset on the beach at Mindal markets and you take your own chair and your picnic rug and everyone turns up and they buy food at all the stalls. You sit there with your bottle of wine and you just the kids are running around amok and it's just fantastic.
Sounds lovely.
It really is. It's fantastic. So anyway, it's not too expensive. There's plenty of things you can do. And a lot of people say, I haven't got the time to visit the NT. Well, it's still...
He's got the time to do anything.
People can go to Bali for a week. So you could go, you could look, you could even do like, for example, if you just wanted to do Uluru, you could do a long weekend. You would need at least three or four nights there. But if that's all you could fit in, you'd say, oh, let's just have a weekend away somewhere. We'll think that. Instead of going to Melbourne or Brisbane or Adelaide, go to Uluru, where you're going to experience the most wonderful thing. I mean, the most recognisable monolith in the world. Mm. You know, and everything is surrounding it is much more to do than just the rock. So much more to do. So, yes, anyone can have time to visit there. So there's another. So there's the seven myths busted. So that's
yeah,
it.
Well, they're good myth busters. I like them.
Yeah, and then, of course, the way of getting there is the next way. We've talked about flying, but then you've got the wonderful GAN. Now, it's considered one of the world's greatest rail journeys, and you can do it as a three-day, two-night experience either way, but you can do the shorter sections as well. So if you only want to go as far as from Adelaide to Alice Springs or from Alice Springs to Darwin, subject to availability, of course. I mean, most people do the full journey. And then you get all the off-road experiences as well. It's all inclusive of meals, wines and beverages. You get a regionally inspired menu that's paired with the wines. You get off at different experiences like at Marla, Alice Springs, Catherine, get the opportunity to go to Nipmuluk Gorge. So it's a wonderful way, and either way, whether you go Adelaide-Darwin or Darwin-Adelaide. And you get everything from a golden twin service, which is a sleeper cabin with ensuite and upper and lower berths that convert to a three-seater lounge during the day. Or your platinum service, you get a full-size spacious cabin with a full-size ensuite and a private lounge with picture windows as well. But just sitting in the lounge and talking with people is half the fun. The different people that do this journey and the conversations you share and what you're going to experience is just really wonderful. And once nature in there. Like, again, if you don't want to do a coach tour of, you know, Darwin, Litchfield, Kakadu, it's very easy. As I said, the roads are so good now. You can do a self-drive very easily. Everything is so well signposted. Plenty to do. Like, once you get down to Kakadu, particularly the Yellow Waters Billabong, that is still, to me, one of the most beautiful trips I have ever done. And that was at the end of the wet, which meant we were there the first day. They had so much rain this year. This was 2 or 3 years ago, I think. And they'd had an incredible wet that year. So they'd only just opened up the Billabong again for the river boats or the cruise boats to go out on it. And again, all the beautiful water lilies and flowers and the proliferation of bird life. Like, we saw everything from jabiroos to the whole gamut of bird life, plus crocs, plus everything else. You know, it was just amazing. And it was just lush and green and beautiful, and you can stay there, and it books out a long way ahead. So that's something you would need to think about booking if you're going down into Kakadu. And again, you've got the crocodile, the famous Gagaju Lodge, which is in the shape of a crocodile, but you've got a little bit more accommodation there now. You've got some extra accommodation now at Yellow Waters, and at Kakadu itself there's some extra accommodation. But again, it's not a whole lot. So if you are thinking of going there, I would suggest on a self-drive itinerary, if you're not camping, it's definitely wise to pre-book some accommodation, and particularly the Yellow Waters cruise.
Okay. Well, you've painted a beautiful picture of the Northern Territory, so I guess that's going on my bucket list now.
Maybe I should get a job for Northern Territory Tourism.
You should. You've done really well. We are about to talk hot deals. What have you got for us, Sal?
We are. There's Hurtigruten, or HX, they're now in Expeditions. They've just come up with an incredible itinerary called the Grand Nordic Adventure. Now, this is doing Finland, Norway and Iceland, and not just by sea, so it's a combination. So you start in Helsinki, do a beautiful rail journey halfway up Finland to Rovaniemi, then you continue by land till you get up to the top to Kirkenes. Then you join, which is the top of Norway, you do that wonderful cruise all the way down the coast till you end up in Bergen, visiting all the different ports of call, the Lofoten Islands, just some incredible ports of call. And then you actually get a flight to go across and do Iceland as well. Now, that is really incredible, and they've got some really great discounts available on that journey, which is 19 days and various different departure dates in 2026. So it's valid until 12 to September with up to 20% off. But that is a wonderful itinerary if you're interested in doing any of that Arctic region. And this is another interesting one. This has been put together by Viking, and it's called, this is a new itinerary for them, Adriatic and Mediterranean Discovery. Venice to Lisbon or vice versa, 22 days, including 18 guided tours, and covers 7 countries. Remarkable. And you've got to remember with Viking, it's adults only, 24-hour room service, special coffee and tea, complimentary wine, beer, soft drinks, lunch and dinner with your lunch and dinner, all your meals. They include, as I said, a tour in each destination, a basic tour. Just incredible. You're going all the way around Portugal, Morocco, all the way back up into Spain, around the French Riviera, right around Italy, down to the bottom of Italy to Messina in Sicily. Then you go all the way across to Sibenik and into Croatia, and you finish up in Venice.
Beautiful.
Or vice versa. So that's a new itinerary as well. So that's fantastic. And also we've got some lovely river cruises available at the moment with UniWorld for the culinary traveller. So they're saying that, you know, you're going to just have all the most wonderful regional food wherever it may be. You might be sipping on Prosecco with some oysters, or you might be having the local wine with some olives and cheese, or the jamón from Spain or Portugal. So these are just incredible itineraries covering through Europe, which are available, and they've got a 20% discount on those at the moment up until the end of September. And we were talking rail journeys, so not just the Indian Pacific and the GAN, which we know about, but don't forget we've got some other interesting rail journeys throughout Queensland, and also there's a Riverina rail tour, a North Coast rail tour on vintage trains, and a Golden West rail tour. So if you're interested in rail journeys, there's lots of options available, and that's lovely. Again, you sit back, relax, someone's doing all the work for you, same as on a cruise in a sense, and you watch the world go by. So look, there's lots of offers available at the moment out there, and some great new itineraries to discover.
Okay, well, we'll add all those to our bucket lists, and it's getting longer and longer and longer.
I know. I tell you what, girl, you're going to be working for a long time, aren't
you?
I
know, I'm going to have to. Thanks, Sal.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.